Well, good morning, friends. It is good to be with you. Good morning, live on a Thursday morning. I apologize for us being a little bit late today. We having some computer difficulties again, so pray with us. For some reason, this computer just says, "You know what? I don't like your audio device, and I'm going to make sure that it doesn't work." And it makes sure it doesn't work. And that's what it is. And that's where we are. So, anyway, try to navigate all that and get that done. But thanks for giving us a little grace as we got started late today. Missed you all yesterday. Yesterday, I was traveling to go minister and preach at Victory Church in Troy, Pennsylvania, with Pastor Josh and Marsha Payne, and man, what an incredible church and incredible leaders they are. It was an amazing night. And so glad we had the opportunity to do that and to bless them. And of course they were it was a blessing just to get to meet them and their congregation. So yeah, good morning, Cheryl. Missed you as well. But thank you all for the grace to be able to do that. So we're gonna jump into this thing today. Even though we're behind and everything else. That's right, I haven't even had my coffee yet. So anyway, I want to talk to you today for a minute about not letting things get stuck in your spirit. Not letting things get stuck in your spirit. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when things happen or circumstances arise and you're just kind of, I don't know, maybe it's a crossword that was said to you, or maybe it's somebody's an event that happened to you. I have found that we have the ability to let stuff get stuck in our spirit. And when things get stuck in your spirit, it is always a recipe for disaster. So I want to just break down a little bit today of how we navigate that and break out of that, because often the longer we allow something to get stuck in our spirit, the longer it has to grow and build and fester, if you will. And so often what starts out as a small, most of the time insignificant little blip on the radar can turn into a massive, big, sidetracking thing in life because we didn't deal with it right when God said to deal with it. I remember a time in my life that the Lord spoke to me very clearly about something and said, "I want you to deal with this now before it deals with you." And I heard the Lord speak like, "This isn't something that you just make up, right?" And I remember saying to the Lord, "Well, Father, I have all this other stuff going on right now. Now is not a good time to deal with this." I had every excuse in the world as to why. Last night I had ministered on the man at the pool of Bethesda, and even when Jesus came up to him and said, "Do you want to be made well?" And his response to Jesus in that was, "But Master, I have no man to help me get into the water." And he gets, begins this whole dialogue with Jesus of why he can't get into the water and why it's not working for him. And he has nobody there to help him. And what was so interesting about that is all he was really doing, because what Jesus asked him was, "Do you want to be made well?" That's a pretty cut and dry, one word answer, yes or no. But the longer he went on making the excuses about why he had never gotten into the water, why he didn't have the ability to get anybody to help him, like all, the longer he kept that thing going, all he was doing was prolonging the miracle that Jesus was there to give him. Good morning, Haley. Good to see you. Often in our lives, Jesus comes in and says, "Listen, do you want free of this?" He's not asking for a dialogue of why and where and how and can we. And often that's where we get stuck. We get stuck in that space and in that place where, "But Jesus, this happened to me, and they said that, and they didn't honor me at the job, and they weren't kind to me," or whatever the situation. And the longer, just as that man at the pool of Bethesda, the long as we were just responding to Jesus of every reason why it's not working and doesn't work and won't work, the longer we're prolonging God doing in our lives what it is that he wants to do. So we have to be really good at not allowing things to get stuck in our spirit, not allowing setbacks or disappointments or rejection to get stuck in our spirit. Why? Because the longer we leave it there, it's going to linger and it's going to become bigger and bigger and bigger than it ever was supposed to be. Just like, you know, you can get a little splinter in your finger, and if you don't get that little puppy out, over time, suddenly it becomes to get red, it becomes to get irritated, and what it's happening is actually your body is trying to irritate it, to push it out of your body, and suddenly if you don't take care of it, it can get infected. In the beginning, it was a small, insignificant little thing that hurt you. But unchecked, unremoved, undealt with, it will grow, it will fester, and before you know it, it is something that you just, that has the ability to stop you from moving forward in your life. I know that's not what you want, and I know that's not what I want in my life either. So what do we got to do? We got to get real good at recognizing things that can spiritually block us. Listen to Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, let me say that again. Above all else, above everything else you do, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. So above all else, guard it, protect it. Another verse of scripture that maybe we'll get into, but it says that, you know, he who doesn't guard over his soul is like a city without walls. Like anything can come in and attack and, you know, pulverize the thing. Why? Because you have to guard your heart. You have to be careful of what you allow into it. Everything we encounter, offense, disappointment, jealousy, anger, can get logged in our hearts or in our spirit, and it will block the flow of God. It will block a move of God. It will block you from moving forward. It will block you from experiencing the blessings that we are supposed to have. That's right, Tanisha. We got to keep our shield of faith on. That's why he tells us to have the armor and the helmet and the breastplate and the sword. It's all protective mechanisms, right? It's all designed to protect what the enemy is throwing at us. And sometimes not the enemy, just stupid people, right? Or sometimes just the causes of life, just disappointments and just, you know, things that happen. And if we're not careful, man, those things can get in there and they can stop us and they can block us and they can hold us back. And I'm just here to tell you, listen, we have, and here's why I'm just so passionate about this, because we have so much already coming against us as believers, don't we? I mean, we have a kingdom of darkness who is terrified every time we open our eyes and put our feet on the floor. You may not recognize it, but the powers of hell recognize the spirit of God that dwells on the inside of you. And hell is looking at you and saying, man, if they ever recognize who they are and what they have on the inside of them, we are done, right? So we already have the kingdoms of darkness coming against us, you know, the enemy walking around seeking whom he may devour. We already have a dark and godless society and generation who, you know, rejects the gospel, who, you know, many have rejected the gospel. There's revival happening all around the world, but pushing against us. And, you know, the last thing that we need is to be our own enemy. The last thing that you need in your world is for you to block what God's trying to do. Like I heard this saying a long time ago, don't talk yourself out of what God's trying to talk you into. And I always love that. Don't talk yourself out of what God is trying to talk you into. God is trying to do certain things in our lives and bring breakthrough and bring healing and bring victory and have us live the lives that he's designed and called us to live. He's wanting to do all of that. But sometimes if we're not careful, it's not the powers of darkness. It's not the friend who stabbed us in the back. It is our own inability to guard over our own hearts or our own spirit and our own soul and not allow those things that can so easily come in and get us off course. So we have to be very careful of what we allow. No unforgiveness, no bitterness, no jealousy, no anger. We got to get rid of all of that. Why? So that we can move forward in the power and strength and in full authority that God has called us to. All of these things will, listen, even affect our prayer life. Consider that for a minute. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, he can't forgive you. That's your Bible. I wonder how many times we're asking God for forgiveness, but we have refused to give it to somebody else. Again, somebody hurt us, somebody rejected us, somebody did something, and now we're really struggling to forgive that person. That unforgiveness is blocking our prayers. It's blocking our relationships. It's blocking our peace. It's blocking our purpose. And the enemy's just sitting back saying, I don't have to do anything. They're blocking their own selves. They are their own worst enemy. They are stopping a move of God in their own life. But today I believe God wants to bring freedom to that. Listen, a clogged drain can still let some water drip through, right? But not at its full capacity. So it is with our spirit. When our spirit begins to get cluttered, when our spirit begins to gather all of these things, like, and you know, it's just starting to clog the drain. What we're going to start seeing is we're going to start seeing things slow down. We're going to start seeing, you know, I just don't feel God like I used to feel him. I just don't hear God like I used to hear him. It just seems like things aren't moving in the right direction in my life. It is often a sign that there's a blockage in our spirit, in our soul, in our heart. And we got to get that out. We got to deal with it. So common things, let me give you a few common things that get stuck on the inside of us. Number one, talked about it a little bit, but offense. Luke 17:1 says, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. You are going to be offended. Don't think it's strange when you are offended. Don't think it's strange when somebody does something to you that offends you, that you cannot believe happened, that you are shocked and you are dismayed and you are hurt. It's not uncommon. It says it's impossible that you won't experience offense while you're on this life. So I love that, you know, in this life, it's like God just right from the top says, listen, I'm just going to give you right from the top. Here's what you're going to experience. You're going to experience offense. People are going to dislike you. They are going to persecute you because they persecuted me. It's going to rain. You're on the just and the unjust. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have offenses. You're going to have things that pop up in your life that were unexpected. Right from the beginning, like the Bible tells us this, like it's going to happen. Why? Why would he tell us it's going to happen? Because he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be guarded. He wants us to know that, listen, oh, that's right. Jesus said that was going to happen. But he also said, be careful. Be careful. Don't allow that offense to take root in you. Don't allow it to build in you. Don't allow it to fester in your mind. You consider Jesus. I mean, when he went back to his hometown to minister, I couldn't imagine. You know, Jesus had started his ministry and he's going around, he's doing signs, wonders, miracles. There had to be an anticipation to go back because Jesus loves everyone, but out of all the people that he would have loved and wanted to perform and show that he was the Messiah and bring healing and deliverance in their life. It would have been his hometown. He grew up with these people. He knew these people. This was his kinfolk. This was his tribe. And I'm sure there was this anticipation of him coming into his hometown and demonstrating and that he's the Messiah and rallying the people and bringing the power of God to them. The Bible says that he walked into that town and, man, they wanted nothing to do with him. They said, "You're just Joseph's son. You're Mary's son. You're the carpenter." And they rejected him. The Bible says that because of that, that he could do no mighty work there. I'm sure that offense came to Jesus. I'm sure that there was a moment where it was like, my own people, my own tribe. Offense within itself, how do I word, of the feelings of offense within themselves is not sin. That means something happened to you that you're displeased with, that hurt you or shocked you, right? It's what we do with the offense that either leads us into a wounded soul, leads us into that spiritual blockage, leads us into stopping the promises and fulfillment of God in our lives, or allows us to continue to move forward in health and healing. So what did Jesus do? Jesus walked out of the city, and the Bible says that he brushed the dust off of his feet. He brushed the dust off of his feet and went to the next city. You will be offended. Can't stop it. Gonna happen. What you do when offense comes affects everything. It affects everything. Your husband's going to say something to you that offends you. Your wife's going to say something to you. Your mother, your mother-in-law, whatever. Your kids are going to say something. I don't know. I never anticipated having kids that I would have to struggle personally with so much offense. You know, if you didn't know, my wife Sarah's pregnant with our fifth kid. And the other day, Loretta comes up to me and says, and puts her hand on my belly and says, "Dad, are you having a baby too?" And I said, "No, Loretta." But she even did it in a group of a bunch of people. And so, yeah, you know, I never thought having kids, you would have to struggle so much with personally being offended with what they say to you. But you do. Offenses will come. It is what you do with them in the moment. There is always a momentary decision that has to be made when offense comes. What am I going to do with this feeling? What am I going to do with this emotion? What am I going to do with this offense? Am I going to, you know, be that little thorn that's going to grow and fester, turn into bitterness? Or am I going to release it, bless them in the name of Jesus, brush the dust off of my feet, and move forward? The second thing, and again, this leads very much into offense, but is unforgiveness. I quoted this earlier, but Mark 11:25, if you don't forgive, listen, most powerful verse of scripture in your Bible, neither will your Father forgive you. Man, we got to get a revolution in the church today. We preach a gospel that sometimes is not the gospel. We preach a gospel that says, come, do whatever you want, live however you want. God just, he's so in love with you that he'll just let anything go and he'll just bless all of everything that you do because, you know, it don't matter. It's not your Bible. He says, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. That's heavy. That's big. If your Father isn't forgiving you, if the Heavenly Father isn't forgiving you, I'm sorry, but I gotta say it plain, that can affect your eternity. Unforgiveness can block so much in your life, can keep you bound in your life. I know we hold on to unforgiveness sometimes because we feel like it justifies It justifies our response into what somebody else did to us. They did this, and the punishment for what they did is I'm going to be bitter and angry and never forgive them. Never forgive them. All right, well, that unforgiveness isn't affecting them. You know, the only thing that it's affecting is you. That's right, Cheryl. Cheryl says, yes, we preach a feel-good gospel today that scratches our itchy ears. That's right. We got to tell people the truth. I mean, that verse of scripture right there in Mark 11, 25, how life-altering is that? Like, I mean, that if I'm not forgiving other people, my Father won't forgive me, which means my sins are not blotted out. It's a serious, serious thing to not forgive people. So how do I process forgiveness when it's like, and I am certainly not downgrading people's experience. I know I'm not talking about like, you know, they cut me off in the parking lot and now I'm just having a hard time. I understand that people are living with trauma that is unimaginable of things that have happened to them and abuses that have happened. And I mean, that, you know, most of us couldn't even comprehend how to walk free from. So I am certainly not saying, well, just forgive. It's no big deal. It's no biggie. You know, that's your, you know, they're innocent. And I'm certainly not saying that at all. I understand that the pain that we experienced, the pain that you experienced was real. The trauma was real. But I'm saying that the first step to healing that trauma, the first step to putting that behind you, and be living the life, because God has never wanted us to live in the shadow of what somebody else did to us. Somebody may have victimized you, but listen, God does not want you to live forever in the shadow of being that victim. He says, come and you can hide under the shadow of my wings and be a victor. Some people get stuck. Something traumatic happened. And listen, I am certainly, again, I'm not downgrading or downplaying what happened. I'm just saying the will of God for you is to not have that thing have one more day, minute, moment, second of power over you than it already has. What that person or what those people did to you might have been evil and disgusting and perverse and demonic and just terrible. But how much more would God say, because of that, I don't want that to affect you one more second than it already has. And I'm saying the first step to walking free is forgiveness. And I'm certainly not saying that forgiveness means we just pretend like nothing ever happened. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness means I make a decision in my heart to release that person, to not hold a grudge, if you will, against that person. It does not mean that I have to include them back into my life. I can forgive and keep healthy boundaries. I can forgive and, you know, say, hey, listen, I can never see you again because of what that's right. Especially if it's serious things that have happened. So please don't think that forgiveness means that, oh, well, you know, we just pretend. What it means is next time I think about that person, listen, I grew up with a stepfather who was very verbally and physically abusive. And it took me a lot of years to work on forgiveness. And there are days where those feelings come up. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Those feelings of anger, those feelings of bitterness. But when they do, I say, nope, I'm not going there. I made a decision to forgive that person. So I forgive and I move on. Now, he had, you know, my stepfather has passed. But before he did, I would say, Father, so I pray for him. Lord, help him. Help him get healthy, help him get whole. And then listen, it's hard to hold unforgiveness with somebody you're praying for. You understand? Now, there were boundaries. I wasn't doing life with those certain people anymore. right? Too much had happened, too much. So there had to be separation there. So often forgiveness does not mean that we just simply let anybody run wild in our lives and do whatever they want. No, it means I might have to put boundaries. I might have to, you know, not be able to communicate. I might have to be able to, you know, whatever that looks like. But what it does mean is I'm not going to dwell in anger and resentment and continue the process of rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing. No, no, no. I've made a decision to move on from that. I've made a decision to forgive it. Lord, I pray for that person. I pray for their healing. I pray that their brokenness calls them to try to break me. But I thank you that you're ministering to them. And now, Father, help me. And anytime those feelings come up, I'm reminding myself of a decision. That's why I always, always tell people when they're struggling in forgiveness, you get before God, you get in an altar, you get in a prayer room, and you ask God to help you forgive. But I always tell people, you write down that date. You write down the date that you chose to forgive that person or forgive that event. Why? Because next time when it tries to creep up in your life, next time you're overwhelmed by those emotions, no, no, no. And you can write it right in the beginning of your Bible. Nope. On May 22nd, 2025, I forgave that person. They are forgiven. They're forgiven. So I'm not going to speak ill of them. I'm not going to speak evil of them. I'm not going to wish them harm. I'm not going to rehearse it over and over again. No, no, no. I'm going to forgive and I'm going to move on. And let me just be honest, I was talking to a pastor yesterday, the importance of counseling, the importance of having a Christian counselor in your life or somebody who's more seasoned and mature in your life to help you navigate. As a pastor, I go to counseling. I believe in counseling. Why? Because I'm not pretending at all that you can just snap your fingers and years of trauma and years of abuse or years of rejection can just suddenly disappear. Of course, God can do that, but a lot of times it involves us getting down to some root stuff. And sometimes that means getting into a group study that's dealing with that. Sometimes it means finding a trusted spiritual advisor that say, help me dig out this stuff, or going to a Christian counselor and saying, listen, I want to be healthy. I don't want to continue the patterns of trauma, because if we don't deal with it, listen, it's going to block us from moving forward. And oftentimes what we do not deal with that somebody else has done with us, we end up repeating and doing to somebody else. And listen, the cost of God to purchase me was too valuable to let somebody else's dysfunction rob the call of God off of my life. So I will not allow offense to take root. I will walk in unforgiveness. And number three, bitterness, which again plays into all this. I will not become bitter. And number four, disappointment with God or people. Disappointment. How many of you know disappointment? Yeah, we know people can disappoint us. But how many of you have ever felt like God's disappointed you? I think of Mary and Martha when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, and they were disappointed. They were supporters of the ministry of Jesus. They were followers. Jesus said of Lazarus, the one that I love. So there was an expectation as following the miracle worker that Jesus would have done something about the sickness that Lazarus was experiencing, that he would have come and brought healing to him. And can you imagine the disappointment in Mary and Martha as they had to bury their brother and Jesus was nowhere to be found? We know the end of the story. Jesus comes and he says, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. As long as I'm here, there's possibility for resurrection, right? And Lazarus did get up from the grave. But I think we can all at some point in our life experience the disappointment that Martha and Mary experienced that day. Jesus, where were you? Jesus, why did this happen? Jesus, I don't understand. Jesus, this did not work out. I thought you called me to do this and it didn't happen. I thought this was your will, and it totally fit. Where were you, God? What is going on? I think that's probably the most prayed prayer, right? What is going on, God? What is going on? And we felt disappointment. Listen, we will never fully, on, I have just determined, there are some things on this side of heaven I will not understand. We prayed, stood in faith for my mother's healing. She got it in heaven, but that we were praying for it here on earth. I have determined that on this side of heaven, I will never understand that. But what I had to make a decision, and I know many people have had to make the same decision, is I may not understand why. I did not see it work the way I anticipated it to work in my life. But I had to make a decision to say, I still am going to trust him despite my inability to see the full picture here. Inability to see the full picture here. There will be things in your life that you are just going to have to determine that, God, I cannot wrap my brain around why this happened and why where you were. But that is when faith steps in. So the Bible says, blessed are those who have believed and yet not seen. That's when it says, you know, God, when we get up there, we're going to have a conversation about this. I don't think we need to, because we're all be all knowing at that point. But maybe you are struggling with disappointments, not just with people, but with God. Things did not work out the way you anticipated. And there could be a million, here's the thing, there could be a million reasons why on all of this stuff. It could have been something, well, I misinterpreted, or I did something, or something on the outside, or God's doing something that, it, and here's where I'm at. You can rack your brain trying to go over and over and over and over and over again why it didn't work, what happened. At some point, all of that stuff will keep you blocked, it will keep you held back, it will keep you stuck, it will keep you in, you're not able to move forward in your life. But sometimes you just have to come to a place in your life where you say, I don't know. And if, Lord, you ever want to reveal it to me on this side of heaven, I'm all ears. But I'm still choosing to trust you, and I'm still choosing to move forward. Listen, not dealing with offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, and disappointment. They're subtle. They're quiet. But they can be spiritually paralyzing. They can hold you back. Listen, the older I get, the more I say this, I do not want to waste any time. I look back at some of my years and I think, man, precious years. I mean, years that, you know, so now I'm looking forward and saying, I got to make every year count. And I am not trying to waste years going around the mountain of unforgiveness when I can make a decision to move forward. I am not going around the mountain of disappointment one more time because I'm afraid to move forward because of a past disappointment. No, I may not understand it. I may not know, but I'm going to trust God and I'm going to move forward because I'm not allowing that disappointment to rob me from one more blessing that God has for me. One more mountain to climb, right? I won't do it. Carrying these things is often a heavy weight. That's why Hebrews 12:1 reminds us, let us lay aside every weight. Listen, and it says, and the sins that so easily beset us. It's not even saying that sin is the weight. It's saying that, listen, you're carrying sins, which we know we got to deal with. But there are other things that are weights. Let us lay aside every weight. Weights that slow down your destiny. Weights that slow down you walking into the fullness and the promise of God. Listen, you can be busy in ministry, but blocked in your spirit. Often I have found that sometimes the busier people are, it's often a sign that they're blocked in their spirit. Why? Because the minute you slow down, you know what's coming up out of you. You know, if you slow down and really listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, he's going to start talking to you about unforgiveness. He's going to start talking to you about bitterness. He's going to want to root out some of those things. So what do we do to avoid that happening? We get busy. I'm doing this for God, and I'm doing that for God, and look, God, I'm doing this, and now we're doing everything else, and we're so busy because we know that the moment we slow down, God's going to start speaking to us. You can be busy in ministry. You can be busy with family. You can be busy doing all kind of stuff, but totally blocked in your spirit. Often when this is happening, you will have emotional fatigue. You will have symptoms of anxiety. You'll become stagnant in your faith. So we have to throw off, lay aside every one of these weights, and we have to learn how to keep our spirits clear. How do we do that? We have to acknowledge what is lodged in there. That's why David would write in Psalms 139, he would say, "Search me, O God. Search me, know me. Every hidden place, every hidden disappointment. I'm not going to excuse it anymore. I'm going to expose it. I'm not going to bury it. I want to dig it out. I want to be healthy. I want to be right. I want to be whole. I want to move forward in the life that you've called me to live. I don't want to be blocked in my spirit anymore. Search me, oh God." You pray a prayer like that, trust me, God's going to get to work. But often, here's what I have found will happen. Often in my life anyway, it's not like I'm sitting there and the Holy Spirit says in a loud, tangible voice, bitterness. Often what will happen is something will happen in my life. Somebody else will do something to me that will trigger that thing in my heart. Somebody else will offend me. And here's that spirit of offense again. So what I say is often when you ask God to search us, when you ask God to reveal to you, often what's not going to happen is a loud, tangible voice echoing from heaven. What you have to watch for is watch what begins to unravel and develop in your life. Don't be surprised when you pray a prayer like that and over the next week, it seems like everybody's attacking you. Often what's happening is God's trying to reveal to you, you have a spirit of offense and aren't you know, gifted in the ability to let stuff roll off of you. And you're saying, well, God, why is all this happening to me? Why is everybody against me? It's just like, you know, I'm trying to be right and everyone's coming against me. This is God's way of revealing to you, listen, I allowed them to come in and offend you because you asked for me to reveal it to you, and I'm trying to reveal it to you. So often, don't be shocked. If you're asking God to help you in the realm of forgiveness, when you start having vivid memories or dreams of that situation that happened to you, it's often God's way of saying, listen, we got to confront this. We got to deal with it and move forward. We can't excuse it. We have to expose it. And then we have to release it by faith. As I told you earlier, forgiveness isn't a feeling. It is obedience. It is a decision to move forward. Choose to release it, even when you don't feel the release. And then we talk it out with God. We don't gossip. Prayer is a purifier. Psalm 62:8 says that we pour out our heart before him. And then the Bible talks about, you know, when an unclean spirit leaves, it'll go and search for another place, another home. And I'm not saying you're demon possessed. That's not what I'm saying. But even sometimes the spirit, you can be oppressed by a spirit of offense or oppressed by a spirit of unforgiveness, which means it's attacking you. It's speaking to you. It's bringing oppression onto your life, but it doesn't mean you're possessed by it. But even that oppressive spirit that is trying to keep you in unforgiveness or keep you bitter or keep you doubting, all of that, if you don't fill the void that it left, it says it will come back with seven of its friends and you will be worse off than you were when you started. Jesus said that to the man at the pool of Bethesda. He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing comes on you. So how do we fill that space? We speak the word of God. We don't leave the house empty. We fill it with the Spirit of God and God's truth. So now, when those thoughts of unforgiveness try to rise back up, we attack it with the word of God. And we say, no, I have forgiven that person. I am more than an overcomer. The love of Christ is shed abroad in my heart. I extend grace and unforgiveness to all people. I am a redeemed child of God, reflecting God in the earth. I have the compassion of God. I see people through the lens of how God sees people. And what am I doing? I am pressing against that spirit that would try to come back into my life and keep me back in bondage. And keep me back blocked, and to hold my spirit and to hold my heart captive. I won't do it. We meditate on scriptures about peace and grace and love. We meditate on the word of God. That's why David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. It is his word spoken. You know, the current statistic says that only 16% of people who claim to be followers of Jesus, only 16% of those people read the Bible at least 5 times a week. 16%. And we wonder why we're struggling. We wonder why we're blocked up. We wonder why, you know, it's like the Spirit of God isn't moving and doing, because only 16% of us are in this book every day. And we wonder why we spiritually just aren't getting anywhere. We're blocked up. We need the word of God. We'll get deliverance. We'll come in on a Sunday. We'll hear a message. You know, we'll make the decision. We're full of faith. But then we walk out of the door and that oppressive spirit's right there, ready to come back in. And we have no foundation to resist it and to stand on. We will never get away from reading the word of God together. So here's my final encouragement for you today. Let nothing hinder the flow of God in your life. Let nothing hinder. Listen, John 7:38 says, out of your belly, or out of your spirit, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Your spirit is made to flow. It's made to burst forth with life and joy, creativity, prayer, worship. It's meant to overflow out of you and affect other people. You are to be a stream of life to the world around you. Not a blocked up dam that has, you know, when water's not moving, that's when you get all kind of crazy stuff growing in. It becomes stagnant. And where there's stagnant water, every kind of infection and disease and nasty, grimy, dirty thing can be in there. But how do you fix it? As soon as water starts moving, that stuff doesn't stand a chance. Moving water kills that stuff. So what does the enemy want? He wants to stop the flow. He wants to stop the flow of God in you. He wants to block your spirit. He wants to keep you clogged up. Why? Because if the water stops flowing, he don't got to do another thing. He can just sit back and say, watch, it'll grow and turn on itself. It'll become stagnant and disgusting all on its own. Some of us have had a toxic heart or a toxic spirit. But today I'm praying in the name of Jesus that we make the decision to get before God and to get unblocked, to get unhindered, to get set free, that again, out of us would start flowing the rivers of living water. And when there's moving water, when there's life-giving water, nothing stagnant can remain. The Spirit is made to flow out of you. Don't let what someone did, what you felt, or what you faced get stuck on the inside of you. Don't let a disappointment block you. Don't allow a negative word to stop you. Don't allow trauma to hold you. Get free in the name of Jesus. You got to clean those pipes regularly. You got to stay spiritually clear and emotionally free. Coming to God, this is even Jesus said it. I know I'm preaching strong this morning, but even this is what happens when you take a day off, I guess. But even Jesus said it when he did the Lord's Prayer that, you know, help me forgive those who have trespassed against me. Like every day we should be checking the pipes. Are we clear? Is there any unforgiveness in me? Is there any bitterness in me? Is there any root in me, Father, that has the ability to block and stop your flow? If there is, root it out of me. And let's not get, listen, I have sometimes met people who I've heard pray this prayer like religiously. Lord, if there be any root of unforgiveness or bitterness, root it out of me. But I have watched those same people be some of the most strifeful and unforgiving people. Why? Because they have learned a pattern of religiosity to pray, Lord, help me forgive. But never have the ability, it's just lip service, never have the ability to take ownership that, you know what? It's everybody else. Do you know what? I am responsible. It's my spirit. It's my responsibility. I have to walk in forgiveness. I have to walk in mercy towards other people. I have to keep my spiritual pipeline clear. I have to keep that spiritual pipeline clean. I cannot get stuck. I cannot get held back. I have to get free. Why? Because everything in my future depends on it. My tomorrow is screaming at me today, saying, get free, get free, get free. My destiny is screaming at me, get free, get free. Forgive. Walk out of that. Don't let it hold you back. Don't be bitter. Don't be angry. Don't be jealous. Don't live in strife. Get out of it. My destiny is screaming at me today. Deal with it before it deals with you. Do not sacrifice your destiny and your potential because you do not want to do the work. Because you do not want to forgive, because you do not want to let it go. Come on, today is your day to walk free. Again, I'm not pretending that you're going to say something in 2.3 seconds and then suddenly it's all over. No, you're going to have to dig in there. You're going to have to remind yourself 80 times today. Nope, I forgave that person. I'm not getting blocked up. I'm not getting clogged up. I forgave them. It's under the blood. It's over. I'm moving on. You probably will have to do that 80 times today, 75 times tomorrow, 70 times the next day. But there will come that day where suddenly the water's starting to flow again, where suddenly you think of that person and it's not that anger and bitterness and strife coming up. And it may come up randomly, but nope, I forgave. I'm moving on. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm not going to stay in jealousy. I'm not going to stay in strife. I'm walking free. Your future is screaming at you today. Get free. Allow the rivers of living water to flow out of your belly unhindered. Not held back, not restrained. In Jesus' name. So, Father, would you help us today? Lord, I know we are your people and we love you. And we want your will for our lives. We want to walk into the future and the destiny and the promise that you have called us to. We want to experience all that you have for us. And Lord, we submit to you the pain and the hurt and the trauma and the woundings that have happened along the way in this life. And we recognize, Father, that these are hard things to deal with. But you have sent your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, our Helper, to lead us and guide us and direct us in all truth. So, Father, I pray today that each and every one of us would pray that prayer that, Lord, search me, O God. Know me. Search the innermost parts of my heart. If there be any strife, if there be jealousy, if there would be unforgiveness, if there would be bitterness, if there would be hatred, root it out of me. Help me every day to walk in forgiveness. Help me every day to walk in mercy. Help me to maintain that river of living water that's to flow out of me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm just reminded, it's a truth that I've been living by, but when a believer gets it wrong, and you will, a believer makes it right. Sometimes the biggest steps to finding healing and wholeness in your life is there are things that God is calling you to make right. Again, it does not mean you have to be a doormat for people. It does not mean you have to give everyone access to their life. If people show you who they are, what's that old saying? Believe them. If that friend showed you that they will stab you in the back in 2.3 seconds, believe them. And guess what? It means that you probably don't need to maintain that friendship anymore. But if you in that relationship have said wrong things or believed wrong things or held a grudge against someone, when a believer gets it wrong, and you will, I will, a believer makes it right. It means you have to call up that person and say, listen, I don't think that we can move forward in this relationship or this friendship, but I don't want to move forward in any way with bitterness or anger in my heart. And I've been angry against you. And I need to ask you for forgiveness for being angry and bitter. And I need to ask you to forgive me for whatever I've said or done. And they might say, nope, click. All right, that's. But as a believer, we have to do what we can do. If you got into a fight with your spouse this morning and said what you ought not say, the burden is on your shoulder to keep that river flowing, to call that spouse, to call your spouse and say, listen, I am sorry. And maybe they triggered you. Maybe they were doing something. But listen, take ownership, take responsibility, take accountability for what you have done. You're not responsible for what they've done. You don't need to say, I'm sorry, but you need to apologize to me and you need to get yourself right before God. You aren't their God and you're not their Holy Spirit. You take a responsibility for you and move on. You say, I am sorry for what I have done. Please forgive me. That's it. That's it. You don't need them to say anything else. If they do, wonderful. But that's between them and their Lord. But for me and my house, I'm going to keep the river flowing. I'm going to keep myself right before God to the best of my ability. Amen. Well, thank you for being on with me today. It has been an honor and a privilege. I do want to remind you that the fall semester of Valor Christian College is coming up. And if you have not signed up but are intending to do so, get started on that. Get your transcripts. Start the process. If all that seems overwhelming to you, go to our website. Just get it done. Start the process. They will walk you through everything to start that journey to continuing on your online education. And then I also want to remind you, we haven't announced this yet, but next week we are starting our telethon, or not a telethon, Lord help me, our share-a-thon here for Pioneer Television Network. So we are growing faster than I can even express to you. And what used to last us a full month of viewership data that we pay for, so it enables our viewers to view it, what would last us a month and beyond is now lasting us days. So we got to spend some money and upgrade and do some things so we're not running into this problem. We had to yesterday, I was with a pastor and sent them the Pioneer Network app and they went to download it and it wouldn't download. And I forgot because we have to update the app because the viewership of it, the infrastructure of how it's built is just not sustainable. So we had to do an update on it, which made it unavailable for about 24 hours until so we're growing and people are watching and we need to be able to fund that. So next week, we're going to take the entire week and just kind of rally around that thought process of how can we step up and help Pioneer Television Network do what God is doing with it and how it's this program and how it's blessing our lives and blessing the lives of other people and say, Lord, what can we do and contribute? I am not a preacher. I did not want to get into television ministry because I didn't want to be known as a televangelist trying to beg people. So that we don't do this. So all I ask people to do is say, listen, What is God asking you to do? And if he's not asking you to do anything, then I don't want you to do anything. That's just my theology on it. I trust God. God brought us safely this far. He'll always be faithful to bring us home. But if God's asking you to give, you know, as we enter into this share-a-thon next week, then that's all I ask you to do is do whatever God puts on your heart to do. And if it's nothing, I'm not saying, well, you're not going to be blessed because you didn't get. You're still blessed. And just be obedient to God. That's all I'm asking you to do. So anyway, just a reminder, next week we're going to gather around our share-a-thon together. It's going to be an amazing week, though, of teaching and ministry that I'm excited about. And we're going to have extra lives happening all day long as we rally around that. And then secondly, if you have planned to sign up to continue your education through Valor Christian College, you have a call to further your education, to dive into more biblical truth and principles, this is your opportunity to have that cohort right here at Hope City Church. So get going and get moving on doing all of that. Thanks for being with me. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning right here at 8 a.m. on Good Morning Live. Be blessed and have an amazing day with God.